Well, good evening, everyone. Hope you're well. On tonight's show, I've got Rebecca Lowry on, amazing lady. And good evening, Memphis. She's over in Memphis at the moment. It's 12:30. It's 6:30 in the UK. And you know what you're listening to, don't you? If you don't know, I'll remind you. Yeah, bringing you interesting guests, help you on your journey, whatever that is. Yeah, Rebecca, what a great girl. Thanks for being on the show, Rebecca. I hope you have a great time in Memphis. And whatever anyone else is doing this week, have a good one. Don't forget my show on a Friday night, 7 till 8, the New Country Show, Radio Warwickshire. And as always, sit back, relax, and grab a coffee.
Oh, yeah. The Dougie
Stone Show. Well, good evening, people. And like I said, I've got Rebecca Lowry on tonight. So I'm really pleased to have her on the show. It's someone that I met several months ago. And unfortunately, this is one tip for you. If you've got any technology, please back it up, because we spent a great 30 minutes, had a fantastic interview, my iPhone packed up and I lost the interview. So, and it's took a while to get to this point. So good evening, Rebecca.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me back.
No, I'm really, because that interview was brilliant and we won't talk too much about that, but that was a great interview. And but for me, I got to know you a bit better on that morning. So that's a good thing anyway. So I've got to understand you a bit better.
Yeah, we still got to have the chat, just no one else got to hear it.
Well, fair enough. I enjoyed it anyway. I can remember it. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I obviously saw you last week on doing a Facebook Live and was really interested, because you've launched your business and you're doing some stuff that I think is exciting for people. So do you want to talk a bit about what you're currently doing?
Sure. Thank you. So I've just launched a new business called Self Alchemy, and it's taking all of the skills and tools and resources and practices and everything I've pretty much learned in my life up to now, which have come out of the kind of self-awareness, personal development world, healing and that kind of thing, and adapting it for businesses, business owners, business leaders, because I see a real shift in how businesses and business owners need to grow and evolve. And I think that the way forward is about being more embodied. You know, up till, I don't know, maybe forever, it's been a lot of a mental, analytical, use your mind process of growth and working out business strategy and business solutions. But what I'm seeing and hearing so much now is that that kind of paradigm is shifting, and people are starting to understand and value the body and the wisdom from the body and the body-mind connection, and how you need to have both in place. And then you've got access to more wisdom and more possibilities and more solutions.
Yeah. So what you described there, then I'd say it's the old way of thinking and the old corporate world. Looking through the world in old lenses, I think what you're trying to say is we need to start looking through new lenses, and there's a different way. We're evolving now. Businesses are evolving. We have to do things differently, don't we?
Right. And I think that a lot of the different thing that's coming is about a different way of creating relationships with the people we work with, whether that's, you know, employees or contractors or staff or our colleagues. And of course, social media, everyone has to be on social media, even corporations. And so we didn't used to have to be so out and open, and now we do. And it's how do we do that in a way that is authentic and in line with our vision and purpose, and in line with the vision and purpose of the company? How do we get, you know, everyone who works with us in line with that? So I think that's a big part of it. And you know, for that, you have to even know what your vision and purpose is and then get in alignment with it. So that's a big part of it. Another part of it I see is what I call either conscious leadership, or I've seen Jeff Weiner, who is the CEO of LinkedIn, calling it compassionate leadership. And it's a different way of connecting with your audience, whether that's your, you know, customers and clients and buyers, or whether that's with the people in-house. It's a new way of relating, a new way of connecting, and it what I see is that it takes some self-development work to be able to do it, because you have to be quite sure of yourself and have some self-confidence and self-esteem in order to bring all of you are into the connection with others. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. And I think, well, what do you think? Do you think it's a big push on that is the development of social media, where in way back when these corporations that are running, these big corporations or even little corporations, little businesses, were behind closed doors and no one really saw what was going on. But now anything that goes wrong or anything that people say are in a split second is online, and it's online forever. Do you think that's had a big push on it?
Well, it's an interesting question. I was talking to somebody recently about this chicken and egg thing. You know, is it social media that's brought us all out and now we have to connect and be open and talk to one another? And same with corporations, they have to be seen and they have to have a personality. Or what is it, something else that's brought us social media? You know, is there, because, you know, the basic human need is to be seen and acknowledged. We want to connect. And so I wonder, did that come first, which is what created social media, which has led us to a new way of connecting? So I don't know which has come first.
That's an interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah, you know, it could be either, couldn't it?
Yeah, you're right, because a lot of people are in business, and this show's about encouraging people to start their own businesses. And I think the younger generation that are coming through now have only ever lived with social media, haven't they? Mm. If I look at my youngest lad, he's never known, you know, he don't even remember dial-up. So never mind before. People don't remember it, do they? Don't even remember that. And that's not a long time ago. I think there's a different, when the generations that's coming through now have a different way of looking at the world because of what they've been exposed to.
That's right. And it, you know, it, like anything, it has its pros and cons, you know, benefits and drawbacks, because there is a way to be more connected with people all around the world. So the, you know, the internet and social media is fabulous for that. But also, so many people I see are comparing their worst day to somebody else's Photoshop day, you know, and so then you think, oh, you know, people are thinking, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm kind of crap, I'm, because they see them, you know, themselves on the days that they're sitting home in their pajamas eating popcorn, unable to get out of bed, and they're comparing that with someone else's day of, oh, look, today's the greatest day I've ever had, I got to meet someone, or I delivered a speech, or I did this great thing. What they don't realize is that same person was probably in bed under the duvet the day before, feeling like they weren't enough, or, you know, having their own issues to go through. So I think there's benefits and drawbacks to that, like there is to anything. And young people don't know the difference. Like you said, your son hasn't lived at a time where there wasn't social media.
Yeah, and there's a lot like that. I mean, it's very easy to get drawn into it and see. I've switched off to it now, where I was watching, this was a bit back, probably last year really, and I was looking at a lot of my friends, as it were, business friends, business, you know, associates, and all the stuff they were doing. I was like, God, they're doing that, and he's doing that, and she's doing that, and oh my, and I'm like, I'm not moving. I nearly stopped doing what I was doing because of it. I was like, I got to the point where I was like, hang on, my stuff's not moving. But actually it was. Mm. It's just, people are probably looking at me, you know what I mean? It's it can send you insane if you focus on it too much, I think.
Well, and see, and all of this, I think, is exactly why, or certainly part of why, the self-awareness and personal development skills I want to bring into business are so crucial right now. Because, you know, if you're sitting at home and either you're, you know, your business is struggling, or you're struggling, you've got relationship issues or whatever, and you think everyone else is doing so much better, it's so easy to just crumble and not want to get out of bed. Whereas truth is, everything ebbs and flows, you know, everything has ups and downs. So those people that you perceive to be having the most amazing life going on, you don't know what else is really going on for them. So if you have some self-awareness, personal development training, and, you know, actually, I'm just fine as I am, and it doesn't matter what anyone else is doing, and you've, you know, kind of grounded and rooted in yourself, and you have tools and resources to cope with the difficult times, then you're fine. You know, then you're set up for success.
Yeah, I've got to that point now where I'm not really bothered. I'm not really bothered what other people are doing. I've got a clear image of where I'm going. I'm on the path, and it's irrelevant what anyone else is doing. It's nice to see what they're doing, but it doesn't affect me. It's not my journey. It's not my way. It's not my, you know, my future.
Right. And I also think that, you know, we're brought up in a world of belief around lack. We think there's not enough to go around. There's not enough time or money or resources or success or whatever. And actually, I think we live in an abundant universe. You get what you perceive. So if you start to look for abundance, you'll see abundance. And so it's okay for everyone else to be wildly successful in their business. And you also can be.
Yeah. And then that goes back to when I was a long time ago and was in my early career. And that's what someone taught me. And he was saying that giving up power is exponential. You give someone that's working with you or for you some of your power, you don't lose power. It's exponential. It just grows. So, and people need to realize that giving someone, enabling someone to do something for them or with them doesn't detract from anything they're doing and reduce their viability one bit. And I presume that's the sort of stuff you try to do as well, is get people to be conscious of themselves and know what they're about and give them confidence.
Absolutely. And you know, there's a I don't know if it's a law or a rule of life or something, but it is, if you want something in your life, give it away. So if you want more love, give love. If you want more money, give money. And because what happens is the universe sees that you believe yourself to be so abundant in that thing, and it always wants to agree with you. And energy always circulates, you know, and love and money and all those things are an energy, they're a vibration. So as you give it out, you create a space in you for more to come in.
I fully get that. I do get that. And a lot of people probably sat there going, oh no, that's, you know, if what do you mean? If I give stuff away, I'll get more coming back. And it doesn't make logical sense. But I think you're right. If you're open and giving, and I've got a great example. I'm working with a guy that currently, and I've mentioned it before, Con, and because I've been doing lots of stuff with people and helping him, he's like, I'm going to help you develop your website. I'm going to do this for you, I'm going to do that for you because you give so much. I'm like, wow, that is just bonkers, isn't it? You know.
That's exactly it. You know, I read a book a while ago, I think it was by Randy Gage, and he said that, this was a long time ago because he's a multi-millionaire now, but he said that, you know, he got to a point where he was down to his last $10 and he bought, what did he do? He bought some food and it was for $3 and he gave $7 away to a man in the street. And he said, like, within 24 hours, somebody who owed him money had returned his money, a job came through, you know, he just, his life changed. And Tony Robbins tells a similar story of...
He does, yeah, the Tony Robbins one was, he's probably nicked it off the other fella.
Yeah, wow.
Do you know what I mean? He's probably plagiarised it, you know what I mean? We could all say that. I did it the other week, you know, I was down to my last 15 quid, £5 on fish and chips, and there was a guy outside who gave me 10. Do you know what? The next day I got 300 grand in the bank. So,
right.
You know,
but if it only worked that way, more people would be doing it, wouldn't they?
But you're right. I get that, and it makes sense because, the universe has a strange way of working. I don't know what's out there. I'm not a religious, don't believe in God, but I think there's something going on where you do. I think there's, like you said before, about vibrations, and we all give out energy. So if you're giving out lots of love, then people are more inclined to gravitate towards you. If you're giving out lots of hate, then you're going to get more hate, aren't you?
Yeah, and you know, I don't have all the quantum physics language to explain it all, but on a very layman's terms, you know, we are like giant transmitters, you know, the way that, like I say, I can't tell you in quantum physics terms, but our body and thoughts and that which animates us vibrates out at a certain frequency, and we get back equal to that frequency. So, you know, whatever is showing up in your world is just a mirror image of what's going on internally. So if you shift what's going on internally, what turns up externally shifts. And that's why when you give love or you give money, or like you gave time and help, it comes back to you exponentially. You know, it goes out because the universe says, look, you believe yourself to be abundant in that thing. And the universe always will say yes to you. You know, if you say, oh, I'm tired and broken and I can't go on, the universe will say, oh, you're right. And you'll that you'll keep proving that to yourself. And if you can just change just a little bit of a thought to say, well, you know what? Okay, today I'm okay. And then that starts to improve and you can start to see that and you can change your thoughts. Then it starts showing up in the outside world. Although I may have just gone off topic somewhere.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's not a problem. I've had a similar conversation with a guy that I interviewed a few weeks ago. I was on my show. So, because the businesses won't get that because they're very much focused on cash, aren't they? So we can't do X because, that's going to affect our bottom line. Or we can't possibly give time away to people because we should be billing for that. Or we can't give product
away. Well, I think that's changing, though. You know, like, for example, so... You know, I use this term conscious, and what I mean by that is just being very aware of your actions and your thoughts. And I think that businesses are becoming more conscious. So, for example, they're thinking about how do they have an impact in the world. You know, we were talking about value and purpose and meaning earlier, and I think that employees, especially, you know, millennials, are going into companies, and yes, they need to be paid and they want to be paid, but money itself isn't enough of a motivator anymore. So employees want to work for a company that has similar values to them, and those companies are looking at how can we have a bigger impact besides just in the products we sell. How can we have a social impact? And I see examples of it in there's a scrubs company, and I can't remember their name, unfortunately, but every pair of scrubs that you buy from them, they donate a pair of scrubs to a developing country. Tom's Shoes also is the same. I don't know if you know Tom's Shoes, but every pair of shoes that you buy, they donate a pair of shoes to a developing country. And in fact, They have a whole program built around it that is amazing. Their program works like, I think it's Tom's or it might be the scrubs company, but what they do is, so it's been proven that if you do a kind act, it changes your physiology. You know, it lowers your cortisol and it makes you feel all good inside. The person who's on the receiving end of that kind act, it also changes their physiology. So it's all good and healthy for you. But they've also proven that if you witness the act, if you see someone do something nice for someone else, it also changes your physiology. So it's really good for your mental, emotional, physical health to be involved in those kinds of acts of kindness. And these companies have learned that. I don't know how, but they have. And so I think it's the Scrubs company, but they have a program where they take all the scrubs and they take employees with them to these developing countries, and they make a whole big deal out of handing the stuff over and having people there to witness it so that everyone benefits from the generous act. And, you know, who wouldn't want to work for that kind of company? Because it makes you feel like you are having an impact.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's not the same, but if you look at when the industrial age started, that was very similar because what some of the old companies did, like Salt up in the Northwest, they, in the Northwest, what they did, they obviously put housing up for people and little schools for their employees and things like that. So it's probably the modern day version of that. If you want to keep your employees engaged and retain the best people, then you have to obviously give them what they need. Otherwise, they'll move to another company, won't they? They'll just up and leave, and then you're losing all that investment in time and training and energy that you've got to get other people involved in.
Yeah, and you know, that's a really great, I can't think of the word, but you're right about the housing and schools. Companies have always needed to provide something other than just money. I think maybe, I don't know, maybe the 80s and 90s, 70s, 80s, 90s that were a little bit different. Everything was very money focused. But that would have created a vacuum of, God, you know, I just go to work and it's just for the money and that's destroying my soul. And so now companies, I think, are starting to recognize, A, you know, having some sort of social impact, doing something good for charity makes them look good and it makes their employees feel good. So it's got benefit for that. But also I think companies are starting to see the value in offering their employees and staff self-awareness training, you know, how to create leaders out of everyone in your company. You almost want to grow them out of your company because they're going to talk about you so good. They're going to, you know, it's good for you to do that.
Yeah. And almost, I think what some of these, not some of the traditional businesses, and that's where you need to get in and get involved with them.
I'd love
but
to.
And some of the newer businesses, they're actually treating their employees as entrepreneurs, as if they're like they're only been that. Well, they call it entrepreneurs, don't they? So you know, it's a bit like when you see some of these businesses now, and they've got table tennis tables, and they've got hangout areas and bean bags, and a lot of older people look and go, "Well, oh, shouldn't they be doing some work?" But they choose when to do the work, and then go, "Oh, let's go and have a quick game of table tennis, or you know, let's go and hang out for an hour and have a bit of a break." And they're working when they're not working, aren't they?
That's right. It could be that they're, you know, marinating ideas in their mind. They're making connections with the people they work with. You know, I certainly know, like, I will open my inbox, read all the emails, and then I need to go away and let it sink into my brain a little bit. You know, I'll go for a walk or, God knows, go on Facebook or whatever it is, but I'm working. You know, it's in the back marinating, it's stewing, and then I can go back and answer all the emails really well. So, you know, and everyone works differently, but I think, you know, the ping pong tables and the bean bags work for some companies. It gives staff a way to connect with each other. It gives them a different way to be creative. I think just sitting at your desk staring at a laptop is not always conducive to creativity. That's why when people talk about some of their best ideas happen in the shower, at the gym, or when they're on holiday, because you need space away from that thing for ideas to pop up, which is some of the things I teach too. You know, how can you access different parts of you at work and have more access to more creative solutions, I suppose. And there's ways to not have to go on holiday to do it. You know, holiday's great, but to go into your body, listen to your body's wisdom, your body's intuition, and then you have access to so much more thought, creativity, possibility.
Yeah. And all that from a business point of view keeps you one step ahead of the competition, doesn't it? And it gives you can innovate for new ideas and sort of see changes that come in, rather being, because if your employees are happy and content and feel valued and feel a sense of worth, then they're going to be more productive than they are unless they're just, you know, they come in at 9 till 5, clock in, clock out, and I know people don't like that, but you're almost stood behind them with a whip for those 8 hours a day. They're just gonna do the minimum amount. They're not going to be creative because they feel oppressed.
That's right. Do you know, Simon Sinek tells a story of he was at a hotel in America somewhere, and he was talking to the chap making his coffee, and he said, you know, "Do you like your job?" And he said, "I love my job here. You know, it's this and it's that." He was very animated and really enjoyed his job. And he said, "What is it that you like about it?" And he said, "Every day at 9 a.m., the boss comes down and says, 'Hey, how are you doing?'" And he said, "That's it." He said, "That's it. The boss comes down and says, 'Hey, how are you doing?' every morning, 9 o'clock. And he said, I work at this other hotel, and I hate it. I go in, nobody knows my name. I don't know anyone's name. I don't talk to anyone. I do the job and I leave." And he said, "Why?" He said, "Because there's no culture of getting to know anyone there. The boss is elusive and arrogant." And, you know, all it took for that guy to be really friendly and talk to Simon and be animated, enjoy his job and talk about the workplace as somewhere great, was that the boss acknowledged him once a day. I was going to say, what Simon says is that, so he got this guy in his best possible mood, offering his best service. But if he'd met him at the other hotel, he would have just been a miserable git serving a coffee and not even looked him in the eye. And that was because the boss made contact and said hello.
And that goes back to the previous comment earlier on in the interview where you were saying about giving things off. Think giving, what you're giving out, you get back. But actually, that boss didn't only get it back, that person changed their mindset, which has affected another individual. So, and then the customer's going to feel great, and he's going to go away and back, "Oh boy, it was great in that place where I stayed. Why? I don't know. It's just the guy serving the coffee was really friendly." And he'll go, "Is that all it was?" "Yeah, it was just great. You know, the coffee might not have been brilliant, but yeah, he was brilliant. You know, it was a great hotel to go to, or a bar, or whatever it is." So it's just ongoing, isn't it?
Well, one of the things that fascinates me is that any I don't want to use the word hierarchy, any kind of business or even like a workshop or organization where there is, you know, someone at the top, the whatever's going on in the organization usually is filtering down, either consciously and obviously, you know, the person at the top is a mean person, so no one likes going to work. I mean, that's kind of very a flat way of looking at it, but just a quick example. Or, you know, the person, like in the example from Simon Sinek, the boss had enough self-confidence and self-assurance and he was clearly being responsible and accountable in his life for his own well-being that he could bring that to work and share it. And when he shared it, there was more to go around because then his employees were sharing it. And then that cheered up the customers who shared it, who then talked good about the company. Whereas the other place, you know, I don't know what was going on for the bosses there, but what they were bringing in was not connecting. Who knows what's going on for them, but they weren't being accountable and responsible for themselves. And it trickled down and people went in with their head down and didn't talk to each other. And no one liked going in for a coffee. So I think one of my dreams is to keep working with the business owners so that they can transform their businesses by transforming themselves.
Yeah.
Because that's where it comes from.
And all too often people in these two scenarios we've been talking about, the hotel where the guy never spoke, probably has got a high churn of staff. There's probably,
that's right,
guy, he probably, you know, and they'll probably blame, well, what's the problem? It must be the staff. It must be, you know, what's wrong with these? They're probably not getting enough money. Do we have to give them more money? And looking at all the wrong reasons, apart from actually go and look in the mirror, it's you. And that's what we need more of, because if you go to, you know, you want to everyone wants to feel happy wherever they go, don't they? Well, don't want conflict, and you don't want someone serving them that's miserable. You know, you want to be connected to them as well as they'd be connected to you, because that makes everybody feel better. So yeah, it's so the other, I bet the other business, their business is probably more profitable. Okay. They probably keep retaining the staff. They probably, staff will go over and above what they need to do. You know, if that boss asks that guy to stay back in that business and do an extra couple of hours, he'd probably say, yeah, not a problem, boss, I'll do it for you. So they'll go the extra mile.
Exactly, which ultimately, you know, saves them money because they don't have to retrain new staff coming in all the time. They're almost getting, dare I say, like free advertising, because people are leaving there and they're going to talk good about the place. You know, the staff are talking good about the place. The customers are talking good because they go in, they feel good. Like you said, there's a connection. And ultimately, that's what everyone's looking for, is connection. You know, so you can give it to them through selling them a coffee or a train ticket or, you know, anything.
Yeah. And I think, because obviously on this show, I probably get a lot of people listening that are either thinking they're doing all employment for themselves or are working for themselves. And I hope they're going to take the message away that what we're discussing is not just about big corporations and the, you know, the Apples of this world and the big people like that. It's actually, if an individual starts to act like that, then that will help their business.
Exactly. I mean, I think of it like this: you are the epicenter of your life. And so whatever's going on in you, whatever frequency you're vibrating out, whatever thoughts are coming off you, whatever feelings are coming off you, they're going out in a 360 circle around you and having an impact, whether you're aware of it or not. If you want the people around you to feel good and connect with you and talk to you and, you know, feel like they can work with you in some way, whether that's as an employee or as someone who's buying your service or product, then you need to be responsible for what you're putting out, you know. And I don't want anyone to get this wrong. I don't want that to mean I have to pretend to be happy all the time or pretend to be something I'm not. Absolutely not. What it really means is being, I'm going to use an overused word, but I really like it, is being authentic. You know, today I'm tired, but I'm going to say I'm tired, so let's talk for 5 minutes instead of 20 minutes. And then someone's getting the real you, not some made up you trying to overrun your boundaries to give something you don't have to give.
Yeah, and that, I had a podcast interview a couple of weeks ago with Jack LeBear, and he said exactly the same about being authentic. And to be authentic, you have to be authentic. You can't manufacture being authentic, because by the very definition,
that's it.
You're not. He said it's a very binary situation. You are or you're not. I mean, I met someone today, and he was at a networking group, and he was still on his own, and he didn't look too chuffed, and he was isolating himself. And I went and had a bit of a chat, and he was on his phone and everything. But later, when I got to talk to him, he said, "I didn't want to be here today," and I knew. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't want to be here today. I've only come because I said I was going to come. And then, but we ended up having a good conversation, a good chat about what he was having problems with. But I could have quite easily ignored him.
Yeah.
Because it's my group. I've got to go and see what's wrong. You know, he was on his own and it wasn't right. So you're spot on. I could sense that there's something wrong with him.
Yeah. Yeah. And isn't it beautiful? So you clearly put out something that says that you are safe to talk to, because he could have just said, oh, I'm fine. I have to do something on my phone. But instead he opened up to you.
Yeah. It's great. Well, I tried to be open and honest and try and put that out there. But yeah, he did. He just said, I wasn't going to come today. I didn't want to be. And I won't go into details, but he told me why he wasn't happy about being there and what was going on in his business, et cetera. And hopefully sent him away with a few ideas. So he might actually have come in very fed up and gone away thinking, well, actually, yeah, I'm glad I went now. So,
and what's beautiful is that in a way he was being authentic, even though and you went and spoke to him, and then you both had a meaningful connection. You both had a moment together, which is lovely. You may have changed his day.
Yeah, because if he'd have been not been authentic and all smiley, yeah, everything's great. I'd have never known, and he'd have still been miserable inside as well. So,
well,
yeah.
In fact, I reckon you would have, if he was pretending, you would have felt that he was and would have unconsciously, not trusted him.
Exactly. Yeah, I can sniff it a mile away. I don't know if anyone else can, but I can sniff it a mile away. Right. We've talked and talked and talked.
I could talk to you forever, so.
I know. So I think what we need to do, we need to tell everybody where they can find you, where your website is, etc., all that sort of usual stuff.
Okay, fantastic. Well, my website is self-alchemy.com. So there's lots of information on there. What else? I'm on Facebook as Rebecca Lowry, and Twitter and LinkedIn and Instagram, because you have to be everywhere these days, is Rebecca Lowry, I think, in all those places. And if I don't come up under my name, look for Self Alchemy.
Brilliant. Well, it's been wonderful to record this again.
Yeah, thank you.
This time I've got a system. As soon as I press stop recording, it sends it to Dropbox, so I'm covered. Well, thanks very much. Have a great time and good luck with what you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me. Always good to talk with you.
And you. See
ya.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that, people. That was Rebecca Lowry. She's over in Memphis at the moment. Have a great time. She knows her stuff. Thanks for tuning in, as always. If you're listening on iTunes, please subscribe. It helped me out a lot. And share this with other people. It's important. You never know, it might help someone out. I know I'm a bit bonkers, but you know who I am. Yeah, I've got some great guests lined up, some interesting people coming up. I'm not going to say too much, but got some crackers. Don't forget, listen to Radio Warwickshire on a Friday night, 7 till 8. For the New Country Show. There's some great stuff on our website, radiowarwickshire.com. Get on there. See ya!